Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, this is our key scripture, by the way. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This is the word of God. This is real. This is truth. This is reality. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly. You could tell that the writer, who is Paul, was struggling with the right adjectives to use, the right adverbs to use, because it's not easy to explain spiritual things in a natural way, natural language that people can understand. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Now, it is clear here to all of us that the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of him and think is possible for him to do. Can you see that? It's us. He's able. Now, the writer is telling us that he's able to do far, 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 far much more than we ask of him, than we think is possible for God to do. What does this mean? It means that we set the boundary, we set the limit of what we ask from God. We set the boundary. If I say, I'm going to ask God for a bicycle, and I'm not going to ask God for a truck, I'm asking God for a bicycle, but I can ask God for a truck, I decide whether I'm going to ask for a bicycle or for a truck. That boundary, that limit is not set by God, it's set by me. That's what the scripture is saying, right? We ask God according to what we think is possible for God to do. We, not God, we ask God according to what we think is possible for God to do. Not what God says is possible, but what we think is possible. Can you see those two things? Not what, we don't ask according to what God says is possible. No, no. We ask according to what we think is possible. And right there, there's a predicament already. There's a problem right there. If we ask God according to what we think is possible, not according to what God says is possible. Can you see that? Okay. Isaiah illumines this for us a bit further. This is the Lord. He says in Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9. The Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Your thoughts. Now you see where the problem is. When we ask God according to what we think, can you see that? You see already the problem when we ask God according to what we think is possible for God to do, not according to what God thinks, not according to what God says. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Can you see the disproportion and the disparity? The way that we ask God, the way that we believe God. Now, according to Isaiah 55, where we just read, this means what we ask or think God is able to do. What we ask or think that God is able to do is exceptionally too small. It's exceptionally, it's overwhelmingly small compared to what God is actually capable of. Remember, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher, God says, there's a disproportion between your thoughts and my thoughts, between my ways and your ways, how I do things and how you do things, or how you think I do things. God is not only able to do what we ask or what we think. The scripture says he's able to do infinitely more, infinitely above, right? All we ask or think. So he's not just able to do. Please, this is Isaiah from Ephesians 3:20 to Isaiah 55. God is not only able to do. He is not only able to do what we ask or what we can ask. God is not only able to do what we can think. He can do far above that our minds have not the faintest idea. Let's not forget, he is omnipotent. Omnipotent. He is absolutely, totally unlimited. Now, here's the thing. How do you approach an unlimited God, a God who is able to do far much more than your mind can think? How do you approach him with a request? How do you come before such a God with a supplication? How to bring a supplication to God? Friends, this really means that in most, if not in all circumstances, this means that in most, if not in all circumstances, we under ask from God. I say in most, actually it's in all circumstances, every time that we come before God, we under ask. We under ask from God and we under think what God is able to do for us. We under think what the Lord is able to do for us. Israel didn't believe God could release them from slavery in Egypt. They had been there for over 400 years. They had been there for over 400 years. They did not believe that God could release them from their slavery. And God took them into the wilderness. And when they were in the wilderness, they didn't believe that God could lead them from the wilderness into the promised land. These are exactly the same people. But why is that? It is because this is symptomatic, is characteristic of the human mind. To believe God, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly, but every time we reduce, the mind is not able to comprehend the exceedingly abundantly. Every time when the mind reads exceedingly abundantly, because the mind cannot fathom that, the mind cannot process that, the mind reduces it. The mind reduces, the mind says it's too much. It's not possible. Our minds cannot comprehend what God can do. Our minds, your mind, my mind, can never comprehend. We only ask God according to what we think God can do. But now we have a problem. Our minds can never comprehend what God can do. So this leaves us with a problem, because every time we go to God, we under ask him. We never ask him according to his ability. If we are not able to ask God according to his ability, then we are insulting him. Is it possible that due to our failure or limitation to comprehend what God can do, we miss out on a lot that God has promised us? Is it possible that due to our failure, that due to our limitation to comprehend what God can do, we miss out on a lot that God has promised? Of course, yes. I just said it. Our mind can't comprehend what God can do. Right? We miss out on a lot because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. We ask God according to what we think is possible for God to do. And number two, we ask God according to what we think is possible for him. So that was number two. Number three is this. This is also why Jesus rebuked the disciples for their little faith, for their lack of faith, for their unbelief. They could not believe because their human mind. He rebuked them. Rebuked them for their little faith. He rebuked them for their lack of faith. He rebuked them for their unbelief. Because they could not comprehend that God was able to do. I say they could not comprehend that God was able to do. Lack of faith or unbelief limits God. It limits God. Ignorance of what's there for us. Ignorance of what God has already provided for us. Ignorance of what's possible for us through faith does not equal possession. It will never equate to possessing. Our ignorance of what is there for us, our ignorance of what God has already provided for us, our ignorance of what's possible. All things are possible. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. That's all possible. Can you see that? All things are possible. All things are possible for us. All things are possible if we would believe. He's able to do. Okay, let's try to quantify exceedingly abundantly. Let's try to quantify it. Let's put value on it. Let's put quantity to it. Come on. Let's put number even to it. How do you quantify? If you can't quantify, you can't quantify what God can do for you. If you can't quantify exceedingly abundantly. And by the way, that's not just exceedingly abundantly. It is exceedingly abundantly above. I say it's not just exceedingly abundantly. Now, let's leave above alone. We can't quantify the first part. Let's even not think about the second part. Exceedingly above. Hallelujah. Whew. Romans 12 and 2. That's why Paul says, don't worry about what you can ask. Don't worry about what you can think. God is able to do far much more than that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Let it not bother you. That is not a problem with God. Paul is challenging. He says, ask whatever you can. Ask whatever you want. Ask whatever you desire. Ask whatever you need. Don't worry about what you can ask. Don't worry about it. Don't even think about it. Don't even worry about it. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly far much more. Please understand that. Paul was saying, this is my God. Listen, let me tell you something or a thing or two about my God. You go ask my God. Nothing is impossible for my God. In fact, my God, there's nothing that you can ask that my God will not give you far much more. So go to my God. Paul was trying by the Holy Spirit for us to understand our God. Make us understand our God. Romans 12 and 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says we need to renew our mind so that we may know by experience. Know by experience the will of God for us. Know by experience what God has already provided for us. To know that by experience. To know it by possession, to know what's there for us through faith. But this man of God is saying through the Holy Spirit, the key is mind renewal. Why? Because the mind will always be the enemy of our faith. Mind is key. You miss the key. We are not able to walk. We are not able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What God has already provided for us. What is there for us. What is possible for us through faith. And what is possible for us through faith is unlimited. What is possible for us through faith is what, church? It's unlimited. Our mind, if not renewed, is incapable to comprehend God. Our mind, if unrenewed, is incapable to comprehend God, incapable to comprehend the things of God, incapable to comprehend the word of God. Our mind, if unrenewed. That's why we begin to debate things that we shouldn't be debating, but things that we should be believing God for, and for those things to materialize. Our unrenewed mind is natural, it's carnal, it's fleshly, it is worldly. We find that in Romans 8 and 7. Romans 8 and 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 7. The Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Now, he's talking about the unrenewed mind. After that, we are born again. We need to renew our minds. Our minds must be renewed. After that, we are born again. It's possible to be born again and yet still not walk in the fullness of God. It's possible to be born again and yet still fall short of everything that God has provided for us. Limitation exists only in the mind. Limitation exists only in the mind. In the spiritual realm, limitation only exists in the mind. I say in the spiritual realm, there is no limitation. It only exists in the mind of a believer. The unrenewed mind is enmity against God. It is the enemy of God. Because not only does it not comprehend God nor the things of God, it resists God. It resists things pertaining to God. That is key. That is key. The mind resists God, resists things of God, resists things pertaining to God. That's key. Limitation in the spirit realm only exists in the mind. There's no limitation in the spirit realm. An unrenewed mind is the enemy of faith. I say an unrenewed mind is the enemy of faith. This is why we need to take it seriously when the Bible says we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then the renewal of the mind is key. It is very, very key, church. Because unless our minds are renewed, we will not be able to go far in our spirit walk. No. We will be lacking when we're not supposed to be lacking. We'll be incapable when we're not supposed to be incapable. We'll be unable when we're not supposed to be unable. Because, I'm repeating myself deliberately, because in the spiritual realm, limitation only exists in the mind, because there's no limitation in the spiritual realm. For a child of God, there is no limitation. The limitation of a child of God only exists in the mind of that child of God. But the Bible says the solution, the answer to that is that the mind must be renewed. It must undergo a renewal. Mark 11. Marcus 11. And verse number 24. Therefore I say to you, that's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. Now he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I'm going to ask you to underline the words, whatever things. Please underline those two words. Whatever things. And let's think on them for a moment and let them simmer. What he says. Listen. Not what I think is possible for God to do. What he says is possible. What he says to me is possible for him to do for me. Those are two different things. Whatever things. Do we believe God for all things? Do we believe God for whatever things? Because whatever things means all things. Christ says, all things that you ask when you pray. Now he says, you can pray for all things. You can pray for whatsoever ye ask, King James says, whatever things. Do we really believe? Now this is when the mind switches. And you know what the mind does? Now let me tell you what the religious mind does. When it comes to whatever things, the religious mind begins to rationalize that statement. The religious mind begin to rationalize. Say, no, he does not mean really, really anything, but. Yes, Pastor Kebi says, whatever is whatever. Whatever things. Do we believe God for all things? It's not for you to say yes or no. The answer is in what you ask him when you pray. No, this one is not for you to say yes or no. Do you believe God for all things? Not for you to say yes or no. No, the answer is in what you ask him when you pray. Then we know whether you believe whatever things or not. Come on. It's according to what you ask. You know, do you believe God for whatever things? Do you believe God for all things? That answer is not a yes or no from you. No, the answer is in the closet. When you ask, what do you ask him? Do you ask him for whatever things? Do you ask him for all things? Or you limit him according to what your mind thinks is possible for God to do. We do that, all of us, don't we? I say we do that, all of us, don't we? And then we turn around and say things are hard. We turn around and say things are difficult. Yet on the other hand, we don't ask. What does James say? You have not because you ask not. Why don't we ask? Because we don't believe it's possible. Limited by mind and by mouth. Limited by what we think and by what we pray. Number two. Remember, number one was whatever things. Now we're going to look at another word. Now it says, whatever things you ask when you pray. Now underline you. Underline you. Right? Why underline you? Because the you is talking about you. The you is talking about me. We determine the extent of what we ask from God. It's not determined by God. Come on. He says, whatever things you ask when God prays. No, when you pray. The one doing the prayer is you and me. The one doing the asking is you and me. We determine the extent. God has never set a limit. No. We determine the extent of what we ask from God. We determine the extent. Have we understood that? Whatever things you, God says, I'm waiting on you. You ask, you pray. God says, I'll answer according to what you. I say we determine the extent of what we ask from God. It's not determined by God, it's determined by us. The third thing we're going to underline from the scripture. It says, whatever things you ask when you pray, underline pray. Believe that you receive them, underline believe, and you will have them. What did you underline? Pray and believe. Prayer and faith are personal and intimate. It is up to us what we ask for and what we believe for. It is up to us, up to me. What I ask God for, what I believe God for, it's not up to God. It's up to me. Whatever you ask when you pray, believe. Whatever you ask when you pray, believe. It's up to me what I ask for and what I believe God for, and it's not up to God. Do we now understand Mark 11 and 24? That's what he says. That's what he says. What do we not have? What do we lack? What do we need? What are we suffering with that we desire God to come through for us? God says, no, no, no. For me, everything is A-OK. It's up to you, not up to me. Can you see that? God says, no, no, with me, everything is A-OK. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and they are amen. In Christ, God says, I've already provided for it. Now it's up to you what you ask when you pray and believe for. It's up to you what you ask when you pray and believe for. The Lord has unlimited us in what to ask or believe him for. He has unlimited us. We just read it. Listen to me. But the mind always gets in the way. The mind does what? The mind does not comprehend the things of God. The mind does not comprehend exceedingly abundantly above. The mind does not comprehend whatever things. Because if the mind did, we would ask God accordingly. I say, if the mind did, we would ask God accordingly. The mind gets in the way. This is the reason why the mind must be renewed. The mind must be opened up to spiritual truths, spiritual realities, to spiritual vistas it has never known. That's what it means to renew the mind. The renewing of the mind is the opening up. When we renew the mind is opened up to spiritual truths, to spiritual realities, to spiritual vistas that the mind has never known. That's what happened. Not just renewing the mind for the fun of it. No, no, the mind is opened up. It's opened up. It's catching a glimpse of what is there. And the more the mind opens up, the more the mind is receptive of it. The mind is receptive of it. And said, come on, let's go. Let's go get it. Our mind must be renewed, re-educated to assimilate this truth. To assimilate this reality, spiritual truth, spiritual reality. The mind must be renewed so that we can manifest the perfect will, purpose, and plan of God for our lives. We cannot manifest the perfect will of God according to Romans 12 and 2. We cannot manifest the perfect will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God for our lives with an unrenewed mind. It will not happen. And I do understand that the renewing of the mind is not an event, it is a process. I said, I do understand that the renewing of the mind is not an event. It is a process. Process. There's growth in the spirit realm. There's growth in the things of God. The more the mind is renewed, the more we believe, the more things we see with the eye of faith, the more things we reach for. I say the more things we see with the eye of faith, because when we see with the eye of faith, then we know that it's possible. I say we know that it's possible. Right. It says Moses, when he saw him who is unseen, who is invisible, he left Egypt and all its riches and wealth and opulence. Moses left it. Why? Because he saw. You see, renewed mind sees. And it surely possesses what it sees. You may not be able to possess that which you don't see with your spirit eye. I may not be able to possess what I do not see with my spirit eye. I may not be able to possess it. The Lord says to Abraham, in a scorching heat in the desert in the Middle East, the Lord says to Abraham in the night, he says, Abraham, get out of your tent. And he says, look up. What was the Lord doing? He was giving a vista. He was giving a view to the mind of Abraham. All right? That thing was emblazoned on the mind. It was imprinted on the mind of Abraham. Oh. So it helped him with his faith because he saw it. He saw it. So because he saw it, he kept on believing for it. He kept on reaching for it. Can you see that? Seeing it. Through that eye in the mind. To say, truly this is possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the essence of mind renewal. The mind is limited to senses. The mind is limited to what it knows. The mind is limited to experience. Yes. All right? The mind is limited to that. Now you have a situation whereby we ask God according to what we think is possible for God, but yet God says, no, no, your thoughts and my thoughts are not the same. So we have a problem there. That means we will never then be able to ask God according to his will because his thoughts and our thoughts are not the same. The mind is limited to senses, to what it knows. It's limited to experience. That means anything the mind does not recognize, anything the mind does not understand, it rejects. Anything the mind does not recognize, it doesn't understand, it rejects. It does. Spiritual things are natural to the mind, so the mind readily rejects them. Spiritual things are not natural to the mind. That's why the mind must be renewed to comprehend, to understand, to assimilate spiritual things. They're natural to the mind. When you say 1, 2, and 3 and you say believe God, the mind says, are you crazy? Believe God for what? Go do something. Faith is unnatural to our mind, church. I say faith is unnatural to our mind. That's why the mind always sabotages us. We try to believe God, but there's something that sabotages. Because faith is unnatural to the mind. What the mind does not recognize, what the mind does not understand, the mind rejects. And this is the reason that the man called Peter drowned. His mind kicked in. The Bible says when he saw the strong wind and the waves, when he saw. No, he walked on water, but when he saw, when his mind kicked in. Can you see that? Faith is unnatural to the mind. The mind does not recognize or comprehend the things of the Spirit. When he saw, he moved from faith to his mind. He moved from the spiritual to the natural. His mind intercepted his faith. This is what happens to us. When one doesn't believe God, the mind comes and intercepts and says, no, this is not normal. Why is it not normal? Because it's not normal to the mind, so it's abnormal to it. Faith then is abnormal to the mind. Unless, of course, that mind is going through a process of renewal. His mind took him out of the unfamiliar to the familiar. Isn't it easier for us to walk in the familiar than it is in the unfamiliar? Listen to me today. The mind always resists the unfamiliar. Faith always poses a challenge to the mind. Faith always poses a challenge to the mind. Here's a child who's struggling at university. They are writing, they are failing, they don't know what they are failing. And then we say, come here, let's pray for you. All right? What does the mind say? What does the mind say? The child is failing dismally. And they're in the university. And then we say, no, come, let's pray for you. You see, now we're not talking your mind, now we're talking faith. But what does the mind say? What does the mind say? When we are languishing in poverty and the word of God comes through a vessel of God and say, God says, today we are out of your poverty. What does the mind say? Wahafo. See? Faith always poses a challenge to the mind. Matthew 14, 28 to 31. Matthew 14, 28 to 31. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When Peter had jumped out of the boat, he literally jumped out of the boat. And he walked to Jesus on the water. But when he saw that the wind was, now there it comes. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. We too, friends, are afraid to walk by faith. We begin to reason and immediately abort the miracle. That's what Peter did. When his mind kicked in, he began to reason and thereby aborted the miracle. Did he start walking? Of course he did, but it did not arrive. He aborted the miracle midway. This is what we do, a lot of us. Please, we are family here. Let's be honest with ourselves. We begin to believe, but midway, we get afraid. Why? Because the mind kicks in. Do you know what the mind says? The mind says, Wahafa, you crazy. And when the mind kicks in, we abort the miracle. Peter aborted his own miracle. His mind kicked in. Peter reasoned himself out of faith. We reason ourselves. No. The extent, the magnitude is too big. No. Has anyone done this? You see, you're asking yourself, has anyone done this? Do I have a point of reference? Do I have someone really? Right? We reason ourselves. Peter reasoned himself. The mind said, look, do you know who are you? You are human. Do you see the things we are doing? You know you are crazy. Do you see this wind? Do you see the waves? Look at you. There's nothing under you. Your brothers are on the boat. These ones are wiser than you. But look what you're doing. And he reasoned himself out of his miracle. That's why faith has patience. Faith has endurance. Faith has persistence. Faith has perseverance. Why? Because from the point where you begin to believe God for something until you receive, in between, the enemy is going to deal with you through your mind. In between, you can feel, you can remember the time that you felt, my goodness, I've got this, I've possessed this. But along the way, think yourself out of a miracle, right? Walk yourself out of your own miracle, like Peter did. And we begin to sink. And the Bible says, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him and he said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt when you saw the wind and the waves? Why did you reason? Listen, you started well to begin, right, when you began. But when things begin to happen, you begin to reason. You begin to doubt. Now, he was teaching us a lesson that when we believe in God for something, things are going to happen. And they must happen. They are bound to happen. We cannot stop that. But we have to be consistent. We have to be persistent. We have to persevere. We have to endure. We must be patient. Things are going to come. We believe God, we are standing here. And what we are believing God is there. And we begin to walk by faith. But as we walk by faith, the enemy is going to attack. He's going to strike. And how does he strike? How does he strike? One area, mind. How does he strike? Where does it strike? How does it strike? Where does it strike? If we can deal with our minds, everything we've asked God for in faith will receive. Peter, when you saw the strong wind and the waves, why did you begin to reason? His mind kicked in. It dawned to him that he was acting crazy. That's what his mind was telling him, that you are acting crazy. His mind told him to abort the whole operation. What he was doing was unnatural and unhuman. I say what he was doing was unnatural and was unhuman. This is what his mind was telling him. And the mind is right. The mind says what you are doing is unnatural, number one. Number two, what you are doing is not what human beings do. So this, what we are doing, Peter, is unnatural and is unhuman. And the mind told him to stop. That's what our minds tell us to stop. You've been believing God for Carlton Center. You know God has spoken to you about Carlton Center. And God says, I have given Carlton Center to you. And you have believed God for Carlton Center. You've been walking first year believing God for Carlton Center. Came to third year believing God for Carlton Center. When it came to year number 7, year number 10, you gave up. Before you arrived, like Peter, before you arrived to Jesus. What happened? Your mind kicked in. Mind wahafa. Wahafa. Wasika man. Hey, Ebra, Edibra, Emebra, wasika. Your mind is telling you you are sick. You're crazy. Why? Because the mind, church, unrenewed mind, or mind in the process, it depends on the stage you're at, cannot recognize, understand, comprehend the things of the Spirit. No. We are praying, Lord, I feel this sharp pain. It is stabbing me. It is extremely painful. Oh, Lord, I pray for the pain to go. And you begin to rebuke the pain. And after you say amen in the name of Jesus, the pain is still there. Then your mind begins to minister to you. Your mind begins to open the Bible to you. Your mind begins to start a sermon on you. And do you know what we do? We listen to the mind. Reason or the fact that the pain is still there does not mean that God has not done it. But what is happening right now, you are walking between the boat and Jesus. You are walking on water. That's where your faith is tested. Like Trevor Noah says, McDonald's, where they screen you between the windows. They screened you between the windows. Those who know, some of you don't know. You guys are too churchy. This is what the mind does when we attempt the supernatural by faith. Speak, talks us out of it. I say what the mind does when we attempt to do the supernatural by faith, our mind talks us out of it. Talks you out of it. It's the mind. The only thing we'll ever deal with is the mind. As a child of God, the devil will come and speak to the mind. To the mind. Matthew 9, 20 and 21. And suddenly a woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, underline, for she said to herself, she thought to herself. Can you see that? She thought. Now she's standing there, but there is a serious convo that nobody's aware is going on. She's standing there. There's a serious conversation. There's a serious parliamentary session that is going on in the head. There are opposition parties and everything going on in her head while she's standing there. The Bible says, for she said to herself, she thought to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Right? Just as we think ourselves out of a miracle like Peter, we can also think ourselves into a miracle like the woman with the blood issue. We can think ourselves into the miracle. There was conversation going on in her head, but she made a determination. She came to a decision that if only, come on, there were a lot of things going on there. The man was saying, you're going to embarrass yourself. Do you know that as a woman, especially a woman who is bleeding like you, you are not supposed to be in public according to the Jewish rules. You are not supposed to be here, and let alone to touch a rabbi. You're going to be stoned to death. The mind was reasoning to her. You're going to be stoned to death. But in all that cacophony of noise, she made a determination. In that cacophony of noise, she made a determination that if only, if they kill me, she said to herself, let them kill me. I would not be the first one to be stoned to death anyway. Let them kill me. I cannot live with this. I'd rather be dead than live with this thing. So if they kill me, they would have relieved me. But going forward, I'm going. That's faith. Going forward, I'm going. Listen, oh my goodness. The way is full of danger. but I'm going. That's faith. It's full of danger, but I'm going. It's full of danger. I know it's there. Listen, you know not unknowingly. When you believe God, you know the risk. When you believe in God, you know the danger. You know the consequences, you know. But you say, above it all, I'm going. Now that's faith. Now that's faith. This is the reason that kept the other 10 disciples comfortable on the boat. I don't wanna name them names, right? I don't wanna call them names. But they were as afraid as anything. They were scared. They remained on the boat. But the one man says, "Lord, if it is you, mbize ntate, mbize, mbize." Hallelujah. That's faith. Defying the mind. Mind defying faith. The title of the message today. Mind defying faith. Mind defying faith. Mind defying faith, Fifi. Mind defying faith. Glory to God. The mind is cognizant of the risk. The mind is cognizant of the danger. And the mind is telling you, don't be stupid. The mind is telling you, don't be a fool. The mind is telling you, don't make a fool out of yourself. The mind is telling you, people are going to laugh at you. And the mind begins to show you people that are laughing at you and say, what a fool you are. Hallelujah. But faith says, Lord, if it's you, if it is you, if it is you, oh, mind-defying faith, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen to this, you people of God, bringing every thought into captivity, bringing every thought into captivity, bringing every thought into captivity, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Obedience. Whatever things you ask, doesn't care what my mind tells me. It doesn't matter what my mind tells me, what's possible, what's not possible. I don't care. Christ said to me, whatever things, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I don't care what my mind tells me is possible or what my mind doesn't tell me is not possible. You know why? For one simple reason, my mind is not the Holy Spirit. My mind is not my Holy Spirit. My mind is not the Holy Spirit. My mind is not my counselor. My mind is not my advocate. My mind is not my advisor. No, that one is the Holy Ghost, but not my mind. So my mind is not going to tell me what is possible and what is not possible with God for me. It's not going to tell me. I refuse. I say I refuse. I say I refuse. How do we renew our minds, church? By hearing the word of faith. How do we renew our minds? By meditating on the word of faith. How do we renew our minds? By confessing the word of faith. Hear the word of faith. Not just hear it, church, but meditate on it. Think on it. Set your mind on it. Focus on these things. And before long, you'll realize that we are confessing. We are confessing. We are confessing the word. It will become natural to you to confess the word when you meditate on it. When you hear and meditate on the word of faith, you hear and meditate on the word of faith, it will become natural for you to confess it. It becomes natural. Now to him who is able, I'm closing. Exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What are you believing God for today that is above your mind's ability to think it's possible? What are you believing God for today, right now, this moment, this hour, that is above your mind's ability to think that it is possible? As people of faith, the essence of faith is to believe God for something that's beyond our mind's capacity to comprehend. The essence of faith is to believe God for something that's beyond our mind's capacity to comprehend. The essence of faith is to believe God for something that's beyond our mind's capacity to comprehend. If we don't believe God this way, then we have reduced God to our level of thinking. If this is not how we believe God, in this crazy manner, in this manner that is unnatural and unhuman to our mind, then we have reduced God to our level of thinking. And I said earlier on, it means it's an insult to Him. And that's not faith at all. That's not faith at all. He says His ways and His thoughts are disproportionately higher than ours. If we don't believe God beyond our mind's capacity to comprehend, then we have reduced God to our level of thinking. That's why we want things from God, we are not receiving them, because we have reduced Him. We are under asking, we are under thinking what is possible for Him and with Him. Not according to what we think, but according to what God says. I say not according to what we think, but according to what God says. Let's clap hands for Jesus today.